Вие сте со SBS на Македонски. Ја следите програмата на SBS Macedonian со Маргарита Василева. Сега следува првиот дел од нашиот разговор со Том Пецинис од Мелбурн. Том Пецинис е поет, романсиер и драматург. Студирал математика на Универзитетот во Мелбурн и долги години предавал на Универзитетот Викторија. Книжевното дело на Том се состои од 10 книги поезија, вклучително и збирката Four Quarters, со која Пецинис ја доби наградата Wesley Michelle Wright Poetry Prize, а неодамна тој ги додаде и збирките Steals, Isolation и Zero's Whisper. Неговите драми вклучуваат Salonica Bound, Hypatia's Circle, Zorba's Last Dance. А за драмата The Drought, или по-добро позната како Сушата, Том Пецинис ја доби наградата Wall Cherry Award и влезе во потесниот избор за книжевната награда на викторискиот премиер. Неговите најпознати дела на белетристика се романите The Twelfth Dialogue и The French Mathematician, номиниран за наградите на премиерите на Јужна Австралија и на Нов Јужен Велс. Неговите најнови романи се Fitzroy Roe и продолжението Fog, и двата се базираат на искуствата на имигрантите во она што беше работничкото предградие Fitzroy во Мелбурн, ако се сеќавате. Делата на Том Пецинис се преведени на повеќе јазици. Моментално тој е координатор по математика на Универзитетот Deakin во Мелбурн. Денес Пецинис не запознава со неговата најнова драма Zorba's Last Dance, во која инспирацијата зад оригиналниот лик на Зорба во познатиот филм од 60-тите години по се изгледа екроена врз животот и личноста на вистински човек кој ги имал сите карактеристики на жител на Македонија, човек кој го познавал писателот на филмот Zorba the Greek Kazantzakis. Разговорот се води на англиски јазик. Tom Pitsinis, welcome back to SBS Macedonian, and thanks for taking the time to talk about your newest work, a play titled Zorba's Last Dance, which will be performed at the La Mamas Theatre in Carlton from July 31st to August 11th, and it's directed by Rosemary Johns. Now, most people will instantly think of the 1965 movie Zorba the Greek, starring Anthony Quinn, who offers a memorable performance. Tell us how you came to sort of take the story further than the end of the film.
Well, final memorable scene in the film where they do their dance and then they go their separate ways. Even at that stage, before I knew anything about the historical Zorba, I was intrigued by what became of this larger-than-life character after that memorable scene and after, you know, having read the novel prior to seeing the movie. And some years later, curiously, I was scratching around and I found out that the Alexei Zorba in the novel was based on a historical character by the name of Georgi, or in Greek, Georgios Zorba, who was, in fact, born in Macedonia, born not far from the town Kozani, somewhere between Edessa and Kozani in Macedonia, in the Greek part of Macedonia. And
Do you know the names of those places in Macedonia?
Yeah, well, Kozani and Vodenskoy, yeah.
Vodenskoy, right.
Village, and I'm not sure the... whether the small village has a Macedonian name, but the Greek name of the village where he's born was Katofigi.
Right.
He born there and did a lot of mining in that area, and then in about 1917 or thereabouts, he met Kazantzakis, the author, on Mount Athos, on Svetogora. They met there, and the historical Zorba went there because his father, who was a widower, became a monk on Mount Athos. So, as it turned out, Zorba's wife had also just passed away recently, his first wife, that is, and he went there with the thought of perhaps becoming a monk. Of course, he was too wild for the monastery. He met up with Kazantzakis, and Kazantzakis said, look, I've got a coal mine down in the Peloponnese. Would you come and be a foreman? They went there and mined for coal. It wasn't a successful venture. They went their separate ways. They didn't sort of meet again after that. And then the historical Zorba Georgi heard of magnesium in and around the hills of Skopje. So he went up there to mine magnesium, which was used at the time to in steel production to strengthen steel.
Right.
Went up there, and not only did he go up there for mining, but he found himself a wife up there, Luba, who... he ended up having some children with, and spent
quite
pretty
a
much
few, actually.
Quite a few, as it turns out. Well, in fact, he had 8 with his first wife, and then quite a few with the second wife, with Luba.
Right.
So,
well, they did have large families in those days.
They did. Well, yeah, my grandparents on both sides had 6 each, so that's very true. he mined there, and in fact, in 1943, when the Germans invaded, he passed away at about that time. Just as, coincidentally enough, just as Cousin Sakis was putting the finishing touches to his novel, Zorba the Greek.
I see.
So that sort of coincidence struck me. I thought, this is, you know, material for a literary work of some sort. I wasn't sure whether I was going to take it down the path of a novel, but a play sort of fitted the dynamics and the interaction between the two characters. In this play, the historical Zorba attempts to reclaim his authentic life from the fictionalization that took place in the novel. So he's, in a sense, the spirit. It's a bit surreal. Mm. The spirit of Zorba appears to Cousin Sakis just as he's finished the novel. He's feeling somewhat drained. He's a bit depressed. Greece has been invaded by the Germans. And in this sort of state of mind, the spirit of Zorba appears to him, and they engage in a bit of a polemic over the novel and over the fictionalization that takes place. And, for instance, the historical Zorba says to Cousin Sakis, why did you set the novel on Crete 20 years after you and I met? You know, I've never been to Crete. Everything took place in Peloponnesus. And a few other, you know, major liberties that Cousin Sakis took with the historical character.
So it sounds like you wanted a bit of truth-telling.
Yes, it was very much. Yep, truth-telling, reclaiming identities. But the play is also set as a play within a play. So the external play is two contemporary characters in Melbourne.
Yes.
One an ageing actor who's, in fact, quite ill. And the other character is his playwright friend who hasn't written the play in 10 years because of things that have happened in his life. So
yes.
The aging actor says, look, you've been thinking about writing this play about the historical Zorba. Write it for me as my swan song, as it were. I don't want to go down the path of medicine or treatment or anything. I want to go out playing the character of Zorba and maybe imbuing myself with some of his energy to confront what awaits me. So what we see is sort of this play that's been written. We see the scenes of it being the story of Cousin Sakis and the historical Zorba.
So the aging actor believes that the truth will be more healing for him.
That's right. The truth and the vibrant character of Zorba and the dance and the last dance, Zorba's last dance. We have some songs in the play. We've had some songs in Macedonian.
Right.
And we have a couple of songs in Greek and a couple in English. And it's on with songs and music that this ailing actor finds the strength, and of course through the character of Zorba, finds the strength to be able to realize his vision of a play and, to confront what awaits him.
Mm. Now, do the songs tell part of the story? Are they authentic?
Well, in fact, some of the songs that we've chosen are traditional Macedonian folk songs. I think we've got 2, maybe 3. We've got some traditional Greek songs, keeping in mind that the historical Zorba,
yes,
I think for all intents and purposes, identified as Greek. However, he did speak the local language, and that's sort of mentioned in the novel that he spoke the language and was able to communicate with the
locals.
With the locals in and around as he worked throughout Macedonia, and obviously, of course, when he went to Skopje and married Luba, they had to.
They would have had to have something
they
in common.
To have a common language, exactly. So the songs are a mixture, and they sort of evoke the feelings, the moods of scenes. For instance, in the opening scene, somewhat somber, we've got Donna Dimovska-Kantarovska, who's involved in the play. She sing Zaidi Zaidi, the very well-known Macedonian song, just to set the scene of of that. In fact, the first scene is we see the character of Zorba, Georgi Zorba, as a corpse, as Luba prepares him for the grave.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a mixture, and the songs do complement the scenes by way of mood and evocation.
Well, Tom, tell me, how did the collaboration between you and Donna Dymowski-Kantarowski come about? Or did you already know of her work?
No, I knew of the name, but I hadn't seen her work, and Rosemary Johns, the director, knew of Donna's work and felt that Donna would be a good fit for the play.
Yes.
And, she came along and she read the script and liked it and felt that her role is in the play is somewhat symbolic. So she plays through song and through action more than a dialogue as such. So she hovers pretty much throughout the play as the mother of the ailing actor. She plays Luba, and she plays a muse, a character that's sort of the muse, the spirit of song and dance that infuses a play and that the ailing actor draws on. So she's somewhat of an enigmatic character, just hovering about and sort of doing a few dramatic actions and of course, singing the songs. She's the singer of the songs.
Mm. And all of this under the masterful direction of Rosemary Johns, who's best known for Neighbours, State Coroner and Blue Heelers. So you've done really well.
Yeah, Rosemary's had a lot of experience, and I've been to quite a few of the rehearsals, and she's her techniques, I've been intrigued. I've worked with several directors over the years, but I've been intrigued by the way Rosemary gets the actors to the point where they are at an emotional level to say their lines, and she works them up, allowing some internal monologue, the characters to voice whatever they feel, to get them to the point where they then say their lines. Of course, the monologue leading up is not won't be seen, but to get them to that emotional state that's necessary to deliver the lines, I found a very very intriguing process she used, and she's really extracting some great emotions from the actors.
I hope rehearsals haven't been too exhausting.
Well, it's been a 6-week rehearsal period, so and the music has been a bit of a jigsaw puzzle to try to fit the music it's almost a choreography that we have to do, because there's some dancing also. You can't have a play titled Zorba's Last Dance without a dance.
So, yes, well, how conscious were you about keeping some things reminiscent of the film, just for that purpose of connection, I guess?
Very much, Margarita, because in one respect, what I'm doing in this play is subverting the expectations of audiences of Zorba, because people have seen the film, they know the melody, people know Zorba's tune that's sort of universal now. People know the character of Anthony Quinn, and it's almost synonymous with Zorba. So we had to try to, certainly the director had to subvert that image of Anthony Quinn. And me, in writing the play, I took the historical viewpoint that when Georgi Zorba was born in about 1865, during the Ottoman presence in Macedonia, the bouzouki was not around.
Yes, it was later, later development.
The bouzouki, it sort of came from Asia Minor with the population exchanges into Greece in 1922. So my take on it is that Georgi does not respond to the bouzouki as people might expect. In fact, he responds to the gaida. and we have the gaida feature, not a live, we couldn't organise live musicians, but certainly as music, background music, we have dancers and accompaniment by the gaida and the drum.
Yes,
which was a traditional instrument of Macedonia.
That's bagpipe, for those who don't understand the word gaida.
Thank you. Correct, the bagpipe. sheepskin bagpipe.
Yep.
It was prevalent throughout Macedonia. And it was only later in the early part of the 20th century that the bagpipe was slowly but surely replaced by the clarinet, which gave a bit more range to musicians. But the high-pitched playing, the high-pitched keys of the clarinet come pretty close to echoing the gaita.
Yes.
So my take is that Gheorghe Zorba dances his last dance and his spirit is released by the gaita, the bagpipe.
Yes. But, of course, the clarinet has a lot of subtlety that the gaita can't give. So, but interesting fact. So here we have Zorba acknowledged as a Greek, a character that's lived for so many decades as a result of Zorba the Greek, and yet a new play that's obviously had a lot of research. He wasn't necessarily Greek, or the real person, rather, that the character of Zorba was drawn from.
Well, as I said earlier, I think, Margaret, he would have identified as Greek. The fact that he was with Cousin Zakis and they did things together.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, he had this other language. He spoke this other language also. So, you know, and the fact that he went, as we said, he went to Skopje and married there. So in many ways, Zorba was a product of the Balkans.
Mm.
He was multi-ethnic. Multi-ethnic.
A bridge.
Which a lot of Macedonia at the time in Salonika was a multi-ethnic city.
Yes.
For a long, long time. So I think Zorba's, the historical Zorba, is a product of this multi-ethnicity, a truly multicultural person.
Well, it's fantastic that you've got this new play, Tom. I can remember the years gone by in the Australian Macedonian Drama Group when you presented with several plays and they were such successes, also very memorable.
Yeah, I just gotta say I have very fond memories of my time with the Australian Macedonian Drama Group, with yourself leading the choir, with your dear mother Anna being involved in, I think she did in fact act in my play The Drought, and
yes,
a very somber, serious play, and she played the sort of lead female character, a very Lady Macbeth type character in that play.
Yes.
And I've got very, very fond memories of those years.
Yes, yes. Well, hopefully the summit will come up and create another Australian Macedonian Drama Group. We certainly have the talent here.
Well, the playwright, the acting, the people are going into this sort of, you know, the sound engineers, the designers. We've got them in our community, in the Macedonian community. Just a matter of the will to bring them together and to, whether, you know, it's a one-off play or maybe, a new theatre company form from people from our background would be great.
Yes, resurrecting the past.
Сакате ли да чуете повеќе прилози како овој? Слушате подкаст преку Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify или од каде и да ги добивате вашите подкасти.